your Bibles and turn them to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. We'll read a few verses out of that. I was there 3 months ago, and I didn't get finished, which happens sometimes. I just want to say, because work fascinates me. I can sit and watch it for hours, and that's all I do. I don't walk and run, and I just watch them and enjoy it. Believe it or not, it's a tremendous thing. And I think it's looking good myself. I'm liking it. And I really like the guys who could eat 7 big pizzas and were looking for more. I didn't buy enough. They must be young, hungry men. I don't know. But thank the Lord for all the good work. If you've given anything in money or in time or in skill or a day sometime, thank you very much. Praise the Lord. And to those of you that work real hard and do it real hard, we really thank the Lord for you. Let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 12 and let's begin. I'll begin reading at verse 7 and we'll go to verse 14 of chapter 12. Would you stand with me? Revelation chapter 12, and I'm going to start reading at verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which, conceived the whole world, and he was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Would you read the next one? And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death.
Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath a short time.
And when the dragon saw that he was cast out into the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child.
And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly to the wilderness, in her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half time, from the base of the serpent.
Let's pray. Lord, bless us today as we meet in your name and preach your word. Touch every heart and life. May your Holy Spirit touch each one of us in the right way, and may you have your will done. Thank you for everything you've done for us, and especially this great salvation and the Word of God that explains it.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. War in heaven. We just look at wars all the time. And you look back in our history, we've got plenty of wars. Now, we had the times that we fought our own selves, you know, in the Civil War. But then you had Texas and trying to get the independence of Texas. You had to fight against England to get the independence of the United States. And all sorts of things like that. There's always been war. Has there ever been a time there was peace upon the earth? Well, not since Cain. Once Cain killed his brother, why then we've had war ever since. You see some of these beauty contests, and the winner says, what would you like? World peace.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be here till chapter 19.
That's right. That's right.
And that's a ways in the future. I don't know how far it's in the future, but it's in the future. Well, what they've got here is war. It says here there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. That's the devil, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. All right, here Satan is falling. I want to go back over again the 4 falls of Satan. Look at Ezekiel 28:14. Now here's his first fall. You know, sometimes there's a lot of jokes made about the devil, and sometimes people treat him like he's a goofball, an idiot, a lot of things. He's really a very highly created thing. I mean, he was over the throne of God. Look at Ezekiel 28:14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. The others were around about the throne. He was above. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God and will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. You know what? That's his first fall. He had the highest position of any created being. He is over the throne of God. He's the leader of almost everything. And he fell. You know what he wanted? He wanted to be like God. He wanted to be like God. He wasn't satisfied being looked like number two. And so, that's what he went for. Now that's his first fall. Now what we're reading here in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, this is his second fall. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now then, when we read this in the chapter here, it says, I heard a loud voice, verse 10, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused him before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and loved not their lives unto death. Now rejoice, ye heavens, ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. Now the second fall, see, Satan, he can walk up and down the earth all he wants to right now, and he can walk up and down the heavens all he wanted to. You know something? All of a sudden, God sends Michael and his angels. You thought the devil was invincible? No, Michael and his angels are going to whip the devil. And they're casting him out of the heavens down to the earth. He can't go into the heavens anymore after this happens out here. He's going back and forth right now. Every time you cuss somebody in your head, even if you don't speak it in the words in your mouth, why, he says, see there? See there? Every time you lose your temper and tell somebody off and really, he says, see there? See there? He's the accuser of the brethren. And he'll accuse you. He'll tell you, you're not worth it. You're not worth being a child of God. You shouldn't have the testimony as a child of God. And he makes some people go into a real depression. Some Christian that ought to be walking on the top of the world, and they're walking down because they're depressed, because they still have some weakness and sin and have submitted to it. Don't listen to him. He's a liar. Remember, he's always a liar. He's the accuser of the brethren, and an old big tattletale. Anyway, that is his second fall. Now in Revelation 20, verse 1, this is the third fall of Satan. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottom of his pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. How about that? That's his third fall. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, until the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Sometimes we give the devil too much credit. We think he is too powerful. We think sometimes, in fact, when I was a little boy, I thought they were about equal. And that sometimes God couldn't overcome and sometimes the devil couldn't overcome. That's not true. God could have simply spoken the word thousands of years ago and the devil would have disappeared and died. He is in the purpose of God somehow. You know, I know we like to think of our God in the way we envision him. But that's making a God of our own, not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible sometimes uses the wicked as his sword. That's what the Bible says. And sometimes right here, the devil's around for a purpose. If God didn't have a purpose for him, well, he's going to turn him loose. Did you notice the heavens rejoiced? Why did the heavens rejoice? Satan's not there anymore. He can't come around and visit you. He can't knock on your door and walk into your fellowship and mess things up and accuse people. No, he's cast out. And he said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Why? Because this is the only place the devil can go. He's bound right down here on the earth. And all of his angels are bound on the earth. You think it's bad now? Wait till this happens. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Because he knows he has but a short time. You think the devil doesn't know every verse in your Bible? He knows it better than you do. You got it all memorized and you think you're really taking care of things. The devil knows every bit of it. He's not dumb. He's not weak. And you're going to read about him in these chapters 11, 12, and 13 give you these great personages and describe them. And when you read about him, you think, wow, we're going to get the unholy trinity. Maybe we'll get there today. I hope so. I guess if I'd shut up sometimes and quit chasing rabbits, well, we might get there. But at any rate, that's his third fall. He get into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Now then he is not able during that 1,000 years to roam the earth and to hurt Christians. So we're going to have 1,000 years of peace. You want world peace? It's coming. It's coming after another great war. In fact, the greatest war that has ever been on the face of the earth. We're going to have world peace with Jesus Christ reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But look, it says in Revelation 20:10. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. The Bible says are. After 1,000 years, the beast and the prophet, false prophet, are still there. Think about that. You say, I wouldn't serve a God that had a living hell. Well, you don't serve this God then. Don't make God up in your image. Some of you are so love your cats and your dogs and your horses. I had a lady come out to look at my house when I was selling it out there, and she said she wanted a building for her princesses. I said, your princesses? And she said, yes, her horses. Now, you can sleep and you can kiss your dog and you can just do all that if you want to. But my dog stays in the backyard. He doesn't need air conditioning. He's got all the air conditioning he needs. And if I let him in the house, he'd have everything torn up in a week. That dog is not a lap dog. Not the one I got. See the scars on me? That's just playing. He's not mad at me. That's just playing. Okay. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Wow. That's the fourth fall. Now, I know I read them to you 3 months ago, but I thought it would be a good thing to start off with them today. And so that's review of what I'd taught before. Thinking about that, he and his angels are on the earth. And look at verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Now, I don't believe this is the church at all. The church, since chapter 4, is in heaven. Maybe even looking down upon this. And God has revived the Jewish nation. That's the woman that personage is in chapter 11. Has to be, and even for what I'm going to read you here, another verse. He converts Israel. The Bible tells it another time in a day. He reaches down and touches them, and they believe on Christ, and they begin to serve God. And they go around carrying the message. I believe that 144,000 male virgin Jews that you read about in 12,000 out of each tribe. I believe they are converted to Christ, and they're the preachers going all over the world, and the world will be covered with their testimony. But I tell you what they're going to do. They love not their lives unto death, is what it said. They loved not their lives unto death. They're willing to die. Now, a bunch of us are pretty wimpy. Our Christianity is not really all that strong to take some real strong stands. Hopefully we take a stand that Christ is Lord, the Bible is the Word of God, and salvation is by grace. You can take that. But there are a lot of other things about this Bible that it's spoken of in here. And if you read it, it clarifies everything. It brings it all together. You understand, if you get the understanding of history from Daniel, and you tack on Revelation right on top of Daniel, you got the whole message. I believe that what we have here in Revelation is what Daniel was not allowed to write. God told him, shut that up. Not ready. Not time. Nobody would have understood it. It would have been way, way out of their league. But you and I, we're looking back on history. Man, 2020. I mean, armchair quarterbacks would get it right. You know, the guys that on Monday tell you what Roger Staubach ought to have done on Sunday? They're right. Man, they sure. Oh, if he'd have done this, if that coach would have done this, if they'd have called this pass, you know. We're always right like that, aren't we? Well, bless your hearts. Put them together and you got an ability to see the history of the world from the beginning right on down up to the end. And what about here is some of the end times. All right. Now, how about this for a testimony? How do you overcome? Blood of the Lamb. Am I wrong? The only way you get freedom from your sin is the blood of the Lamb. The only way you can walk up into the presence of God as a son is the blood of the Lamb. How about the word of their testimony? You know, in truth, the Roman government wouldn't have had too much problem with Jews and Christians if they'd have just made Caesar a god. But they didn't make Caesar a god. And there was no Orthodox Jew that was going to say Caesar's a god in place of Jehovah. And there was no Christian that was going to say Caesar's a god in the place of Jesus. No. Because they would not bow, then they were persecuted, they were given to the lions, and they were killed, crucified upside down, burning them like torches in the garden, stuff like that. The word of their testimony. Well, how about they loved not their lives? You know, when we get down to 666 and you don't buy or sell, when your kid's hungry and your wife got a little baby and she doesn't have enough food to help her produce enough milk for that baby, going to be an awful big temptation for some man to say, yeah, your Lord. Give me the number. Let me eat. Yeah. You know what? That's what's going to happen. You and I are in such a wonderful time. Did you ever think you were born in a great time?
Amen.
And in a great place. With freedom,
thank you, Lord.
Education, opportunity. You can go to HEB and buy a Bible.
Amen.
You can get all the versions off the internet. You can carry them around on your little phone. I see all of y'all hunting that phone. I would get so lost in that phone. The other day, Eddie tried to call me several times. Billy tried to call me about six times. And I finally met up with Billy and he said, I tried to call you. Where you been? My phone didn't ring. Now, I don't go into my phone and say settings here or something like that. That will get me in real trouble. I hate for anybody else. Some of my grandkids and whatever want to use my computer. And yeah, you know, Grandpa. Well, I'm just about telling them no, because they punch buttons that I don't know where to get out of. I don't know who messed with my phone, but I didn't do it. But the ringer was cut off. And it showed on the phone. I guess I punched the wrong button twice and it was a key code or something. I don't know what. Isn't it amazing? Hey, love not their lives unto the death. Read Fox's book of Christian Martyrs. Just take a look at the magazine today. What is it called?
Voice of the Martyrs.
Voice of the Martyrs. There's a magazine comes out every month. They'll send it to you free. It'll make you appreciate what you have. It'll make you appreciate, wow, am I blessed. Anyway, and so, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them, and woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when he saw that he was cast out to the earth, who's he going after? He persecuted a woman. Now that's Israel. That's Israel. I know Mary gave birth to Jesus, and you could interpret it that way, and it's done that way most of the time. But it's not true, because we're going to have a verse here in just a minute or two. Let's see where it was. Verse 14. I knew I had you read that verse for a reason. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into a place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time. The 3.5 years that he's going to be after, God is going to be protecting her by getting her a place in the wilderness. Now, the two wings of a great eagle. I had some commentators that I read years ago on Revelation. I haven't read them in years, but I did at a certain time. I read about anything I could find. And they interpreted the wars as being, the locusts that come out of hell. That was helicopters with, attack things, tanks and stuff like that. And here they're saying, and what they interpret the two wings, they've got a great air force that's going to deliver Israel out and get her into the desert. You know, they're going to fly her with a plane. No. Let me tell you what you do. Let's look back in Exodus chapter 19. I think I can clear this up for you. It's amazing. We have a Urim and Thummim today. It's called using and thumbing the Bible. Urim and Thummim, get the truth from God by the Urim and Thummim. Well, the way you get it today is the using and the thumbing of the Word of God. Well, take a look at chapter 19 and verse 4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Do you think Moses thought he was flying on eagle's wings? Do you think all of those children of Israel, as they crossed that sea and went out that desert and watched Pharaoh be destroyed, do you think they thought they were on eagle's wings? No, it's a symbolic expression. Have you ever seen eagles? Lots of times we don't see eagles. We're not, they go up in the mountains. Now we get deserts, we get buzzards down here, but we don't have many eagles. But I have seen the eagles, and good night, they look so small. And they're just riding the crest of things, and wow, what eagle? Man, he's way up there, he's got his nest way up in a mountain somewhere. Indians, to go get eagle feathers, had to climb mountains and set traps and whatever to get to eagles. He said, I bear you on eagle's wings. Didn't look like eagle's wings. Looked like they were walking the whole way. Looked like they went down in the sea. They were under the sea there. Looked like when the guy's going to try to follow them, they're out in the middle of the desert looking for water. But they were on eagle's wings. They were so far above the people that they could even see behind them. They couldn't get to them because God bare them on eagle's wings. So, when I take a look at this right here in Revelation chapter 12, and he said in verse 14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. She might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. God is taking them into a protected place that will last 3.5 years. That's the 3.5 years where the devil's going to be running rampant, trying to kill all these Jews. He still hates them. There's a lot of discrimination in the world, but I don't believe anybody has ever been discriminated more than the Jews. Amen. They've been discriminated in all sorts of situations, not just World War II and the Holocaust and whatever. They've been blamed because they were blessed with financial goods, and therefore the people that were losing out, like in the midst of a depression or something like that, they were the bankers. Let me tell you where the Jews are today. They're in New York and in high finance positions. They're out in California running the movie studios and stuff like that. They are just blessed with, able to handle money. And they've done it, been blessed like that all the time. This is during the time when the devil is turned loose and he wants to destroy every Jew descendant that's out there on the face of the earth. And he's going to destroy many. No doubt about it. He's going to destroy many. And it's going to be a really bad time. And yet, God has protected them, and he's going to bring them through, and they're going to walk into that 1,000-year reign. And they're going to have the head of the nations again. God's promises are not gone away. All right. Now in verse 15... the serpent cast out of his mouth water as of a flood. Do you think it was actually water? I personally think it's an army, armies, people. People are going after him, persecuting him, like it's been happening in a lot of wars, and it's happening in wars today. And the earth helped. Now, I don't know how the earth helped. I'm not sure. Maybe there was an earthquake. Maybe that would take care of the waters. Maybe there were people hiding them, like the people hiding them from Hitler, hiding the Jews from Hitler in the days of Anne Frank. And I don't know, but it says the earth helped them, opened her mouth, swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, went to make war with the remnant of her seed. All right, he didn't get all of these Jews. Some of them were protected by God. And he said, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. These are converted Jews. They're not still Jews. They're Jews that have recognized Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They've accepted him as Lord, and the devil is after them. Now, some of you are not going to like this, but bigger and better wars are coming. I don't care what the president does over in the Middle East. I don't care what Egypt does. I don't care what the Arabs do. I don't care what Syria does. You go over there and stop that war, it's going to break out somewhere else. We're going to have wars and troubles and times of war. You and I have just been blessed to be born and live in this bubble we call America.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Wow. I look at the world, and I have traveled some in the world, not as much as maybe many of you. But I've lived enough to see very poor Christians. There were some people in Guatemala, sweet, sweet people. They had a dirt floor. They didn't have glass in their windows. They didn't have shoes. They had some real calloused feet. But I tell you what, they could walk on pavement with those feet, not bother them like it'd bother you. Sweet, sweet, sweet Christians. I remember a time when some college professors came down and they wanted to talk to these Christians, and these Indian Christians, Mayan Indians that served the Lord. There was one old man among the Mayans, and he was one of the houses they were taking him to. And these are college professors, you know. They're making, back in those days, $50,000 and $60,000, probably a couple hundred thousand a day. And they're in there talking to him, and he asked him a question, if they were believers. They said, oh, no. And he said, I really pity you. Now, how about that? College professors being pitied by an old ancient Indian. Because he had salvation. Overcame him by the word of his testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Well, they love not their lives unto the death. Okay, the testimony of Jesus Christ is what they're carrying with them. Now let's look at chapter 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And just the first three things here. We're talking now about the devil, about the Antichrist, and about the anti-prophet, the unholy Trinity. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in the Bible. They are all equally God, God in three manifestations of himself. In fact, it says at one place that in Jesus Christ dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That makes him God. And it says manifested, uses those terms. That means he's presented to you. How is he presented in the Bible? That's God the Father. How is he presented in the Bible? As Jesus Christ. And what Jesus tell you? The Holy Spirit won't come if I don't go away. And I'm going to go away so he can come. And so the Holy Spirit within us is what? God. It's Jesus. So we have God within us. And so we have a Trinity, which some people complain about. But again, I don't set my doctrine up and make the Bible try to fit it. What I've tried to do over these 60 years or so is to read the Bible and see what it says and see if I can put it together without doing damage to any verse in the Scripture. It's got to fit everything. And so what we have here is a holy Trinity. Now, what I just read to you about is an unholy Trinity. This is the dragon, which is the anti-God, the Father. This is the Antichrist, which is the opposite of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the opposite of the Holy Spirit, this other one. All right. Chapter 13, I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. He came up from the sea, from the peoples. I don't know that he's not necessarily Jewish. The anti-Holy Spirit might be. Because this one comes up from the sea, that's from basically the peoples out there, that's an interpretation. And the anti-Holy Spirit comes up out of the land, which might be Palestine. He might actually be a Jew. Now, you can have your opinion. Anybody you read on it's got an opinion, and they'll give it to you. And you can take what you can see, what you can accept, and whatever. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. Well, what's a leopard like? Sort of like the United States. Or sort of like the European common market. Do you know, we don't just have one race. My daughter, we had our family reunion on Good Friday up at Blanco Park. It was a very nice, beautiful day. A lot of people didn't make it, but quite a few did, and we had a good time. And my daughter began to read these different things about our history and whatever. Well, this country is not made up of just Irishmen. This country is not just made up of Mexicans or Indians. This country is not just made up of blacks. A lot of these nations back there, you were Greece and Greeks, and there wasn't hardly anything but Greeks and Greece. Well, that's about England, Ireland, whatever. But it's a melting pot. Now, what is a leopard? You ever thought about a leopard? His spots. He has spots. Now, if a leopard got an extra spot, would you notice it? Not unless you knew him pretty well. No, you wouldn't notice it. Well, that's what we are in the United States. We got every kind of people. We got every religion, I'll bet. I'll bet anything that's being worshipped around the world is worshipped by somebody here. We're a leopard-like. We're a combination. We are a people that if you add a new spot from some other place in Tanganyika or wherever, we wouldn't notice it. Except a few people are maybe in the neighborhood and the poor teacher trying to talk to the kid in school. It's a leopard. So it's a combination. Now, when you hand the older, greater kingdoms, the first great kingdom of Daniel was Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar. That's the head of gold. And the next, as they come on down, you come into a place where you have the Roman Empire. What's the culture of the Roman Empire? Greece. They didn't have one of their own. All they were fighters. They knew how to fight. They knew how to control. They took all their gods from the Greek gods. They conquered the Greeks, but the Greeks' culture conquered them. And they had the Roman gods are the same thing as the Greek gods, except with different names. Their culture, their art. They took the art out of Greece and hauled it over to Rome because they didn't have the art in themselves. What were they good at? Fighting. Controlling. And they were a powerful kingdom. Lasted 1,000 years. And they didn't get whipped until the guys that they had been leading them. Julius Caesar was a fighter. Mark Antony was a fighter. You're talking about some great, great soldiers. Alexander the Great conquered most of the world. Built the city of Alexandria with a great library. Conquered Egypt. Died about 30, 33. And they said he was so depressed because he didn't have any place else to conquer. Great, great general. He was something else. Rome finally whipped him. His four generals that were under him, whenever he died, they divided up his kingdom into four areas. One of them took Egypt, one of them took Rome, one of them took some other places like that. And those four were controlling the world. What happens to Rome? They get a short sword. Iron. It was the biggest, best, toughest thing they could have in their day. And they learned how to battle. They're great soldiers. They conquered so much territory. And every place they conquered, they took what was best and left the rest. So they could take the culture of the Greeks and their art and their gods, and yet they controlled Greece. But they became Roman then. So what do you have here? You've got a great big leopard. It's got all sorts of things, but it, you know what it is? It's very, very strong. And anybody that goes against it will get ground into powder. And they control the world. Now, that was Julius Caesar and Mark Antony and these great generals that lived in Rome and conquered the world through Rome. But the Romans got soft. And they didn't want to go out and fight. I've got a nice swimming pool here. I've got a great house. I've got servants to treat. I'm rich. And let's hire the Germans. That's what they did. They hired these German, real tough guys, you know, Germanic tribes, Goths and Visigoths and whatever. You can read about them in history. They're a tough breed, man. They didn't do anything soft. And they hired those Germans. And those Germans came in and fought wars for them. And so these guys could sit at home and go down and play with this and play with that and whatever. And the Germans finally said, What are we fighting for them for? Let's just fight them. Let's just take it over. And so the Germanic tribes came in and conquered Rome in 476. So you have the great Roman Empire from 500 B.C. to 476 A.D., right at 1,000 years. And then these Germans fought each other. Well, one of them was England, and one another France, and another Spain, and another place. They just broke up all over there. And the Romans lost out because they got soft. Now let me ask you something. Was America built on hardy people? I love reading from the Civil War. I've enjoyed the Civil War too, but I love from the Civil War to about 1920. Wow, what a history. What a gutsy bunch of people that would get in a wagon and head out where the tribes of Indians were and where there was dust and animals, and they're gutsy. Are you that gutsy? I don't think so. You notice I've started sitting with the older people. Have you noticed? It's because I get tired standing. And so I said, I'm 81, okay? I'm going to join the old crowd. I'm the old crowd. That's what happened to Rome. They decided to sit down and order their fighting done by those tough guys who can do it. And the tough guys did it for a while. The pay was real good. And then they finally decided, fool you on this, let's fight for ourselves. And they went in and broke up the great empire. Now, part of it, the part was it was Constantinople, which Constantine built. It lasted 1,000 years longer because they were smarter and they handled things different. And that's where your King James Bible came through. That's the Greek side of it. And then that comes down to the place of the great Reformation, 1500s. And a guy named Martin Luther and some others that decided that they would break even from the Catholic Church. But you know what? If we get too soft, we're going to be conquered. The tough guys are going to conquer. That's the world we live in. It's the world we live in. It happened to Rome. It happened to Greece. It's going to happen to everybody else. And that's the way it goes. Now, I hope I haven't been too confusing. I hope you got a little out of it. God bless you.